Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, October 17th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, over the weekend, you got two episodes out. You got first the new edition of Sound of Musicals and This Week on Broadway. Kind of give us a cliff notes of both of those episodes.
So Michael did a sort of tribute to Marnie Nixon on Sound of Musicals, this month's episode of Sound of Musicals, and played 10 or 11 different tracks where Marnie performed on them and talked about some stories there. Really a great 45 minutes of retrospect on theater and Marnie Nixon. So please get a chance to check that out. And on This Week on Broadway, Peter is back, and we talked about various different things from his North Dakota, Minnesota trip to Michael, Peter, and I saw Holiday Inn. We talked about Heisenberg, Keene Company's production of Tick, Tick, Boom, Love, Love, Love at the Roundabout, Laura Pell's Theater, Camelot at the Westport Country Playhouse, End of Summer at the Metropolitan Playhouse, and the film of Romeo and Juliet, and the producers at Paper Mill Playhouse. So we didn't have a guest on this week because we had so much theater to get caught up on. So take a listen to that. Some really good insights from Peter and Michael. Not so much awesome. For me.
You're there to guide their insights and to coax them out.
Yeah, I mean, people really don't understand that about my role here at Broadway Radio. I'm really just to kind of get the conversation going. I'm really
you're a coaxer.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a coaxer. All right. Well, we are recording right now in the afternoon on Sunday because you and I are both seeing shows tonight, Sunday night. James, what are you seeing?
Actually, I am not seeing a show. I thought it was in the color code of my show on my calendar, but it's actually soccer.
Oh, so. Wrong color code, but you've got soccer tonight.
Yeah, I've got soccer tonight.
All right, I am going to see an immersive theater haunted house called Catharsis. It gives a 30-minute personalized private experience, which I'm already terrified of. So,
where is that?
That's down here in Orlando. Actually, they don't even give you the address until you buy your tickets. It's like one of these super secret.
You have to go to a bodega and give somebody an egg, and they'll tell you where.
And then they open up a bookshelf, and then you go behind the bookshelf. Yeah, no, they've done. This is from from Pseudonym Productions that does a lot of immersive type interactive stuff. So I'm excited to see what they do in a haunted house type environment.
Great. So let's get on to the news. Tonight is the opening of the Roundabout's revival of The Cherry Orchard.
Yeah, since we're recording early, that means we won't have any of the reviews for Anton Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard that's being revived by the Roundabout Theater Company. We will obviously run those on tomorrow's show. But as you should know by now, the revival is led by Diane Lane, Celia Keenan-Bolger, Chuck Cooper, Joel Grey, Tavi Gevinson, John Glover, Harold Perrineau, and more. It's directed by Simon Godwin. And the production features a new script by Stephen Karam, Tony Winner from The Humans, and is scheduled to run through December 4th at the American Airlines Theater. With a company like that, I will be shocked if this isn't at least fairly well received. James, I assume you're going to see this at some point in the near future?
I suppose I should. Let's see.
Check your color-coded schedule.
Make my sure color-coded schedule, Friday the 21st, the Cherry Orchard, 8 p.m.
All right.
Yes.
Very cool. I look forward to hearing what you have to say on This Week on Broadway next week.
Cool. So maybe we'll put in the show notes at least a link to the Broadway World's review roundup, and we'll talk about it as well, because we know at the Broadway World's review roundup, we at least know what the link will be tonight. So, and we'll throw that in. So what's coming up on this week's schedule?
It is a fairly busy week, both on and off Broadway. All of these shows that I talk about, we will have links to their specific show pages in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. So if you want more information, please check them out. The week really gets going on Tuesday when Tony Winner Sarah Jones officially opens her one-person show, Sell by Date, in which she plays a whole host of characters recounting real-life experiences of people affected by the sex industry. The show is scheduled to run through November 13th and is directed by Carolyn Cantor. Then on Wednesday, the Roundabout Theater Company opens the starring new play from King Charles III playwright Mike Bartlett. The play Love, Love, Love follows a British couple beginning in 1967 and how their life changes as the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the summer of love give way to marriage, kids, and real life over the ensuing years. The show stars two-time Tony nominee Amy Ryan, movie star Richard Armitage, stage and screen star Zoe Kazan, Alex Hurt, and Ben Rosenfield. Michael Mayer directs, and the show is scheduled to run through December 18th. Then on Thursday, James, this is the big day of the week. The classic 1928 comedy The Front Page from Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur officially opens on Broadway with just an absolutely insane amount of stars, led by Nathan Lane, John Slattery, John Goodman, Jefferson Mays, Sherry Renee Scott, Holland Taylor, Robert Morse, Dylan Baker, Hallie Pfeiffer, Christopher McDonald, and believe it or not, even more. Directed by Jack O'Brien, the show is often called the greatest play ever written about the newspaper business, and I think with stars like that, it might be hard to argue. In the show, a reporter and an editor, played by Slattery and Lane, hide an escaped convict prisoner to keep control over the biggest scoop of their lives. The play is scheduled to end its Broadway run on January 29th of next year at the Broadhurst Theater, and it's already raking in cash, James. So if this gets the reviews that I think it probably will, I think this is going to be a very hard ticket to get through late January.
Yeah, I'd imagine, and it seems as though that there. Did we talk about on Today on Broadway the scandal about the reviewers not reviewing it?
Yeah, we did. They that's true. We talked about how they're only giving first night reviewing press tickets to the actual opening night performance. They normally give them, you know, a chance to get tickets to a few different performances leading up to opening night so that they can write their reviews and have them ready for deadline. But harkening back to the old days and way things were done back in 1928 when this show originally debuted, producer Scott Rudin is only giving critics tickets to opening night. So then they have to run out and head over to a laptop and type out a review so they can make the printing deadline for their paper. So I think that's fun. I think that's a cool, funny way to do it for this show.
So I've heard from a lot of Second Night reviewers that they have not been invited. So we'll have to
see really?
if others are going to be invited to this, or the typical media that would get to review
yeah.
it.
Interesting.
All right. Next up, the Kean Company's Tick, Tick, Boom opens off Broadway.
Yeah, this is another of those Thursday night shows. The Kean Company will open its off-Broadway revival of Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom, starring Nick Blamire, Sierra Renee, and George Salazar. It sounds like you guys talked about it on This Week on Broadway, mm-hmm. so that'll be good to get a heads up on that. Directed by Jonathan Silverstein, the autobiographical musical focuses on an aspiring composer who is trying to decide which path to take as he approaches his 30th birthday. The show is scheduled to run through November 20th at the Acorn Theater over at Theater Row. And as much as I would love to see The Front Page, which obviously any theater fan would love to see all those stars, but I really wish that I could make it up to New York to see this one. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say on This Week on Broadway, because this is one I love. I love Sierra Renee, so I would love to be able to see this show as a big Jonathan Larson fan as well.
The too long didn't read on it. This one is get tickets right now.
Okay.
Immediately stop this podcast. Get your tickets.
Okay, good. Okay. By the time this episode comes out, This Week on Broadway will already have been out, so I'm hoping that people who are interested heard This Week on Broadway, got their tickets long before they even pushed play on our episode.
You know, I hear from a lot of This Week on Broadway listeners that they bank them and listen to them weeks after the fact, so I just wanted to drop that in now.
Oh, yeah.
Today on Broadway.
Yeah, good, because this cast is a really cool cast of young, really talented people, and, you know, everybody has seen Rent, but not everybody's seen Tick, Tick, Boom. So if you haven't seen it, it's such a great score and it's a good show. I love it. I've only seen it once, but I know the cast recording by heart. So really wish I could see this. And obviously it sounds like it's a good one to get tickets to go see. Finishing up Thursday, the Public Theater will open its off-Broadway revival of David Hare's Plenty, starring Oscar winner Rachel Weisz, Corey Stoll, Emily Burgle, Byron Jennings, Danny DeWall, and more. Directed by David Leveaux, the groundbreaking play follows a British secret agent flown into France during the Second World War and powerfully looks at her experiences during the war in the two decades that follow. The play is scheduled to run through November 20th, and James, the public is making a big deal out of the fact that when this show debuted, I believe in 1985, it was a huge hit and one of the most successful plays in public theater history. Who knows if it'll hold up all these decades later, but with a cast like that, I would imagine that this will be a cool one to see.
Absolutely. Also coming up on Friday, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is going to open up.
Yeah, it's just a short run, but on Friday, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons on Broadway opens on Broadway. The special concert runs just through October 29th at the Lunt Fontan. So if you want to pull the rare doubleheader of seeing Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys on Broadway on the same day, with Jersey Boys announcing its closing date, this will likely be your last chance, so don't miss out. Now, while these things aren't taking place in a theater this week, two TV things that I wanted to make sure that we let you know about are Fox's presentation of the Rocky Horror Picture Show will be happening on Thursday night, and the television premiere of Hamilton's America will take place on PBS on Friday. Obviously, check your local listings for dates or for channels and times, but I have a feeling that we'll be talking about these two again, either leading up to them or shortly after they air. But those are two pretty big nationwide broadcasts that theater fans are probably going to want to DVR.
What's coming up in the show and casting news?
Well, we got some big news coming out on Friday. After months of speculation, it was confirmed that almost the entire off-Broadway cast of Joshua Harmon's play Significant Other will make the move to Broadway with the show. Directed by Chip Coleman, Gideon Glick, Lindsay Mendez, Sass Goldberg, Barbara Barry, John Bailman, and Luke Smith will all return, but Rebecca Naomi Jones will take over the role of Vanessa from Kara Patterson, who is shooting the new TV show The Arrangement, which debuts on the E! Network later this season. Significant Other follows Jordan, played by Glick, and his three closest friends as they navigate love, friendship, and New York in their 20-something years. Tickets for the show go on sale today, Monday, and performances begin on Valentine's Day at the Booth Theater. Now, speaking of TV show necessitated casting changes, after pulling double duty for a few months with CBS's Bull and Broadway's Hamilton, Christopher Jackson will teach us how to say goodbye on Sunday, November 13th, when he abdicates the role of George Washington to Nicholas Christopher, who covered for Jackson while he was filming over the summer. You might remember that last week it was announced that Christopher, Nicholas Christopher, not Christopher Jackson, would be playing John in the Broadway revival of Miss Saigon, so he will only be playing G-Dub through the first of the year. Also in Christopher Jackson news, after this announcement about Hamilton was made, Lin-Manuel Miranda tweeted, quote, "But here's where I get to tell you that you'll hear at Chris's singin's vocals in the opening number of At Disney Moana in a Disney movie, in all caps, forever." So congrats to Nicholas Christopher, Christopher Jackson, and anyone named Nicholas Christopher or Jackson straight or boxed. You got the gambling reference there. Okay, Next up, we learned last week that Emmy and Golden Globe winner Damian Lewis will play Martin in the West End revival of Edward Albee's dark comedy The Goat or Who is Sylvia, beginning next March. The star known to TV fans as Marine POW turned terrorist turned Congressman Nicholas Brody on Homeland, Henry VIII in the BBC's Wolf Hall, or Bobby Axelrod on Showtime's Billions, will play Martin in a show in which he, quote, embarks on an improbable and impossible love affair. And I'm just going to leave it at that and let you figure out what that's all about. The show will be directed by Ian Rickson and will begin performances at the Theatre Royal Haymarket on March 24th and will run through June 24th. Finally, in this section on Friday, we learned that Eric Peterson will take over the role of Dewey in the Broadway production of School of Rock beginning on November 7th. Peterson was most recently seen on Broadway as a replacement in Peter and the Starcatcher and played Buddy the Elf in the national tour of Elf last holiday season. He will be replacing Tony nominee Alex Brightman, and James, those seem to be pretty big shoes to fill in that role.
Absolutely. Bright Monster was very, very popular in that role and was, if you'll pardon the expression, was a much larger star when he started the role. But the work that he has done in that role has made him, you know, as good as a 1980s aerobics instructor.
He's quite svelte now, yes.
He is. So we'll have to get Eric to do some carb loading ahead of time.
Yeah, that was one of the fun things that Alex Brightman often said when he was doing interviews, that he had to eat so much food just so that he didn't lose so much weight when he was doing this show, because he's running around, and Dewey's supposed to be kind of, I mean, it's a Jack Black character. He's supposed to be a little schlubby, a little chubby, not exactly the most well put together guy, but Alex ran around the stage so much doing this show that he looked like he'd been hitting the gym with Mark Fisher Fitness or something for a while.
Absolutely. I wonder what Brightman is going to be, how his life is going to change now. He's going to have to totally change his change his routine, or stop eating, or go to the gym for 4 hours a day every day.
Yeah, you know, seriously,
to keep his body going on that routine. So next up, we want to talk about this horrendous fix of an election. The fix is in, and nothing's fair, and it's just, of course, we're talking about the Tony Administrative Committee makes its first rulings.
Yeah. On Friday, I mentioned that Michael Riedel had reported that Andy Blankenbuehler was ruled ineligible for Tony consideration for his – the fix is in. It's all rigged for his work on the revival of Katz by the Tony Administrative Committee. Because his work did not differ significantly from that of the original choreographer Gillian Lynn, that was confirmed when the committee released its official rulings of the, its first official rulings of the season on Friday. Their show-specific rulings focused only on Paramore and Katz, which, other than Blankenbuehler, were consistent with opening night billing. The only other piece of news that came out of this is that, as expected, the newly renovated Hudson Theater was officially deemed Tony eligible for the season. Jake Gyllenhaal will rechristen the house when he returns to Broadway and Burn This in the spring. The theater will officially seat 970 when the orchestra pit is not in use, and 948 when it is. James, it sounds like you might have some strong feelings about Andy Blankenbuehler not being eligible for the Tony, or are you just... Are you just trying to stick it to the man?
I'm not saying anything, but people are saying that people are saying that he's getting stuck there. But I think that everybody in the Tony Administrative Committee should be taking drug tests.
I like how you slipped into a slightly different accent when you said that. It was almost like you were channeling a character of some sort.
Bigly. I was bigly doing that. All right, next up, Neil Merman and Craig Zidin share the details about Hairspray Live.
Yeah, James, I mentioned the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox and Hamilton's America PBS on PBS earlier in the show. And on Friday, Hairspray Live producers Neil Merman and Craig Zidin did a conference call to talk about the upcoming broadcast of Hairspray Live. That just started rehearsals recently, so it means we are getting close. Of note, despite saying previously that they would never have an audience for one of their live musicals, they confirmed that they would in fact have an audience for the Courtney Collins Show segments, and at another location an audience would be watching. They didn't say what it was, but I'm going to guess that it's going to be on like the sidewalks during the protest march scene. A website will be unveiled soon for fans to apply to be selected to be a part of the show's audience, so keep an eye out for that. They originally had said that they would incorporate an audience back in April, so this isn't necessarily new, but they did confirm how it would happen a little bit. Fun fact, they also said that they would be using the iconic Back to the Future clock tower set as the backdrop for Baltimore, so keep an eye out for that, movie nerds. They also did confirm that there will not be any new music written for the broadcast, and that every song from the stage show will be included, plus one or more songs written for the 2007 movie adaptation. Maron also hinted that there's a possibility, in fact a strong possibility, that we will see cameos from previous Tracy Turnblads. If you'll remember, they did Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now with all three Tracy Turnblads on the cast, on the soundtrack for the movie. So I would imagine that we'll get some sort of mix in there as well. There's some other cool nuggets, and I'll put an article in the show notes, but they talked a little bit about how Ariana Grande got involved. In fact, apparently her agents reached out to them to play Penny. He talks about Harvey Fierstein and Kenny Leon. And they also throw in a little bit of information about the previously announced Broadway revival of The Wiz that is still circling theaters when and if one ever becomes available. So check out that in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com as well.
All right. That should wrap it up for today. Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWW Matt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayVideo.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for starting your week off with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.